Greg and team, thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Everybody awake? Happy New Year. Before I get started, I want to say congratulations to a recently married young couple who sort of grew up here, and they got married in Hawaii a couple of weeks ago, and I got to be there and do their wedding. I highly recommend Hawaii as a wedding destination. Jason Rosado and Amanda Villarreal, you guys are here. Why don't you stand up? Let us congratulate you on your recent marriage. Don't they look nice? And Dan and Olga and Paul and Brenda, congratulations to them. Well, everybody, glad to see you here today, the first Sunday of the year. And in this month of January, I'm doing a message series that we're calling Old School Lessons for the New Year. I'm going back to the Old Testament, and we're going to do some character studies. And today, I'd like to talk with you about one of the most obscure characters in the Old Testament. Her story is found in Genesis chapters 29 through 49, but get this, but her legacy is ongoing and lives on in a powerful way to you and me today. Do you know the story of Leah? Jacob, and Leah, and Rachel, you know that story? Guess not. Well, I mean, we sort of know it, but what's interesting is that you don't get everything you want out of life. Leah certainly didn't get everything she wanted out of life, and here's the main point that I want to underscore today. Leah wasn't a superstar. She just wasn't. But although she wasn't a superstar, she left a powerful legacy. And a legacy is what you leave when you live out loud for an audience of one. It's trusting that the decisions and the choices that you make that are rooted in good character will honor God and honor God's purposes in ways that really you can't even imagine. Okay? So, not everybody's a superstar, but everybody can still leave a powerful legacy. Here's Leah's story. We'll pick it up, Genesis chapter 29. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older daughter was Leah. What's the name of the older daughter? Leah. And the name of the younger daughter was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes. Maybe she was nearsighted. Maybe her eyes just didn't sparkle. But Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. And so Laban has two daughters. We have Rachel, who is absolutely beautiful. And then you have Leah. On one hand, you have Rachel and Leah. Rachel, Leah. Nothing wrong with Leah. Leah's a wonderful person. But in a superficial, skin-deep comparison with Rachel, it's no contest. Rachel just had it. She was gorgeous. She was a superstar. Jacob took one look at her and said, I want to marry that girl. And Jacob was willing to go all out for Rachel. Verse 18, the Bible says, Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, Laban, I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Isn't that a great father-in-law line? Better you than somebody else, I guess. So stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But here's one of the most romantic lines in all the Bible. but they seem like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Everybody go, oh. All right, that's enough. Verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. They're celebrating. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah. Remember, Jacob has worked 7 years for Rachel. But when the wedding night comes, father-in-law Laban pulls the old switcheroo and he brings his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. Jacob thinks he's honeymooning with Rachel. And since the tent didn't have electricity, and since the bride would have been heavily veiled, and since they've been celebrating for 3 or 4 days, Jacob didn't realize it. Don't ask me any questions. That's all I'm going to say about that. Then the Bible says the next morning, when morning came, there was Leah. What a great line. Jacob wakes up and, what happened? I thought I was marrying Rachel. Instead, I'm married to Leah. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Instead, I'm married to Leah. Nothing wrong with Leah. Leah's a wonderful person. So Jacob goes and he confronts Laban, and he says, what's this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? And Laban replied, look, it's just not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. I was like, now you tell me. Why don't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me this custom 7 years ago? And so Laban says, finish this daughter's bridal week. In other words, finish your honeymoon with Leah, and then I'll give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so, and he finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. And Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Verse 30, and Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Let's talk a little bit about being Leah and because of Leah. Being Leah, some of you know what it's like to feel that way, to feel less than. There's nothing wrong with you, but in some sort of comparison game, somebody always wants to point out that you're just less than Rachel. You're just not as smart, not as sturdy, didn't earn as much, don't have as much, you're not as talented. Nothing wrong with you. You've got a lot to offer. You're just not Rachel. And being Leah means living in a Rachel world where somebody else is just more talented, more attractive, they've got more charisma, they have better behaved children, they have a larger scope of influence, they see greater results in their work, they have better health. And Leah, maybe like you, just isn't appreciated for who she is. She's rejected because of who she's not. She's not Rachel. And being Leah means you're not a superstar. You've got a lot to offer, but you're just not the superstar in the spotlight. Being Leah means living in a Rachel world. Some of you know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. Most of us here do. Secondly, being Leah means facing and growing through some significant rejections. Think about this. She is married to a man who really didn't want to marry her. It's not Jacob's fault. He was tricked. But she feels one sense of rejection after another, compared and less than. But God sees her, and God loves her, and God takes notice of her. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. At least at this point, she's barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. Doesn't that sound sad to you? That sounds sad to me. Oh, if maybe I just do this, maybe now he'll love me. She's hurting. She's crying out to God. Thankfully, we serve a God that where human love fails, God's love can flourish. And God seems to show his presence to us all the more when others' affection is in short supply. Verse 33, she conceived again, son number two. And when she gave birth to this son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. And this one she named Simeon, which means listening. She says, God's listening to me. He's listening to my prayers. He sees I'm not loved, that I'm less than, that I'm compared, and I don't measure up. Again, she conceived, verse 34. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him three sons. And she named this one Levi, which means cleave or close. She desperately wants to be close to her husband. David Brinkley once said that a successful person is the one who can lay a foundation for a meaningful life with the bricks that others have thrown at them. Leah did that. That's exactly what she did. She took the heartache and the pain, and she laid a foundation for a meaningful and a difference-making life. We learn that Leah has given birth to three sons, and each time she's desperately saying, maybe now my husband will really, really care for me. She gets pregnant a fourth time, and something happens to her heart during the 9 months she's carrying this child. Being Leah, thirdly, means learning to root your identity in your walk with God. Notice what happens with this fourth son. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. This time she says nothing about Jacob. It's not like she's writing him off. She's simply saying, this time I'm going to praise the Lord. And so she named him Judah, and then she stopped having children. Folks, it is wearisome to live your life trying to please somebody who doesn't necessarily want to give you their approval. That will wear you out. And if you get your esteem and your jollies from how other people feel about you, you will go through life as a people pleaser. And that will wear you down. But if you understand that you can live your life for an audience of one, and that the creator of the universe can love you and accept you and use you, then you will be less likely to be driven by the fickle reactions of people. And quite honestly, you're going to be more of a force. You can't really help people until you don't really care what they think about you. Let me say that again. You can't really help someone until you reach the point where you don't care what they think about you in a superficial way. Psalm 56:11 says, in God I will trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And that's not some sort of mystical pretense. It's a genuine experience. And Leah has now turned from self-pity to spiritual praise. And when her fourth child is born, she doesn't say, maybe now he'll love me. Maybe now he'll like me. She says, I'm going to praise God. And God became the source of her satisfaction. God's love for her was enough. God's grace was sufficient. And maybe God's grace can be sufficient for you. Being Leah, And what about because of Leah? What can we learn from this great life? First of all, because of Leah, we know that actions rooted in good character will yield the best outcome even when I cannot see how. But I'm going to trust that God takes God-honoring choices and He will produce good fruit. You read about Leah's life and you read about her legacy. Folks, her descendants are all over Scripture. Her son Levi, well, it was through Levi that you received the Levitical priesthood, through whom came Moses and Aaron. Her fourth son, Judah, was an ancestor of King David. But Leah's story really has a happy ending in the New Testament. How does the New Testament begin? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 reads as follows. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah. And if you were listing the mothers instead of the fathers, it would read Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah. It was Leah's Judah who became the ancestor of Jesus Christ. And there's something interesting when you go back and you read Leah's story. At first, in the early days, she was less than and didn't seem to be highly respected by Jacob. He didn't really want her. But I want you to fast forward to the end of Jacob's life. He has lived with and watched Leah for years. And a wonderful change of heart has occurred. Shortly before Jacob dies, he's telling his own children, well, he's given his last will and testament. And in Genesis 49, these words are recorded. Then Jacob gave them these instructions. I'm about to be gathered to my people. I'm about to die. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite along with the field. And notice this, verse 31. And there Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. And there Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. But Leah was buried there with Abraham and Sarah. And Jacob says, bury me there with Leah. She was found faithful. She won the love and respect of those who knew her. And because of Leah, you can know that good choices rooted in good character will yield good results even when you can't see it all. And because of Leah, you can know that even a non-superstar can leave a powerful, powerful legacy. Folks, whether you serve publicly to thousands or whether you serve privately to a few, whether you buy your clothes at Nordstrom's or buy your clothes at Goodwill, 100 years from now, it will not matter. But what will matter 100 years from now is the legacy of your life that you're passing on. Quickly, fathers, how are you going to be remembered by your children? What are your sons? How will they describe you? Moms, what's the legacy that we're leaving? Only one life and it soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I would exhort you today, don't be weary in doing good. God is not going to forget your work. He sees your work. He sees your attitude. He sees your service. And like Leah, you may not be able to see down the road and down the years. And yet the choices we make in hidden, small, one-on-one times impact others in ways that we cannot imagine. God made something beautiful out of Leah's life, and He's making something beautiful and meaningful out of yours. I want you to think of some people who left some big shoes. Think of some folks in this church over the years who left some big, big shoes to fill. Here's the thing. They weren't trying to leave big shoes. They didn't get up every day thinking, oh, I want to leave some big shoes. They got up every day thinking, I want to serve Jesus with excellence. Ralph Manasco wasn't thinking, oh, I just want to leave big shoes. Ralph Manasco says, I just want to wear myself out with love and humility and service. Think of so many others. And you may not be the Rachel. You might be the Leah. And somebody's always willing to point out that, you know, you're not number one and you're a little less than. That's okay. God's taking your humility, your servanthood, your love, your faith, your kindness, your acts, and He is weaving together a beautiful tapestry and leaving a legacy for others to appreciate, and it will inspire even beyond your years. Okay. I want you to take your communication card that was in your order of worship. Would everybody do that, please? Just take out your order of worship and that communication card. We're going to receive those here in just a moment. But what I'd like to ask you to do first is please go ahead and take a look at that card. Fill it out. If you would like some more information about our church family, or if we can help you in some way to maybe take one of your next steps in following the Lord. Perhaps you'd like some information about our church. You want to talk to somebody about membership here, about baptism. If we can help you connect with a small group, like Josh was talking about today, you can just write the word small group on the card. If we can pray for you in some specific way, we'd love to do that. Just write that prayer request on the lines provided and know that you will be prayed for this week. Now, when you finish with that card, just take it and pass it down to the end of the aisles. And some of our ushers will be collecting those cards here in just a moment. They're going to collect those cards as we start to sing a song. Okay? Take a moment, fill that out. And let me pray over you, and then we'll receive the cards and we'll sing our concluding song. God, I thank you for the legacy of somebody like Leah. She knew what it was like to just constantly be compared. She knew what it was like to try to please somebody that it just felt like it was never going to happen. But she came to the point where she said, this time I'm just going to praise you. A praise God anyway moment. Lord, I pray for the people in this room who feel like it's just never enough, that you will help them to see that you are enough. Give them your peace in their hearts. Let everyone see that, God, you can use us. Maybe not in the way that we thought or wanted or dreamed about. But something new can be born in us this new year. Give us the endurance to press on and push through, and give us the integrity to mark our world for Jesus in a meaningful way. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. And at this time, ushers, if you will, please pick up those cards. And Greg, if you will, lead us in our concluding song.
Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. He dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Everybody, glad you were with us today. And as Eric was talking about earlier, here in just a few moments, we're going to have Bible classes for all ages, a whole new slate starting today. There's one for you, and I'd like to encourage you in the month of January to really, for those of you who may not be connected right now in a Bible class, to utilize January to maybe visit around and connect with one. I think some really good opportunities are out there. And for children, children's education, children's ministry, so important to us. And we've got some excellent classes, and they'll be starting here in just a few moments. Get you a cup of coffee, say hello. Everybody have a great week and a good day. You are dismissed.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. By the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. Now I've found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. Majesty, majesty, your grace is coming just as I am.
Be thou my vision, O Lord. I slept to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears no sorrow can be found. And I'll receive my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown. The weather there is always fair. There is sunshine day and night. No cold and no rain will fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments. I'll just wrap my robe around. When I receive my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown. Mansion, robe and a crown. There love will always abound. Let me your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown. My head's bowed and bloody now from the work I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown.
Mansion,
robe and a crown.
In glory,
there love always abound.
Forever,
let me your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown.
Mansion,
robe and a crown. Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown. Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown.
You know I will run in the steps of the sun.
Ride on, King Jesus, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on, no one can hinder thee.
King Jesus rides to Jerusalem,
no one can hinder thee.
Hosanna to King David's son,
no one can hinder thee.
He rides upon a donkey small,
no one can hinder thee.
The King of Peace, the Lord of all,
no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on, no one can hinder thee.
The children sing and they dance and shout,
no one can hinder thee.
If they won't praise, the rocks cry out,
no one can hinder thee.
King Jesus done just what he said,
no one can hinder thee.
He healed the sick and he raised the dead,
no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on, no one can hinder thee.
The light of God shines on his face,
no one can hinder thee.
He offers all his pardoning grace,
no one can hinder thee.
Come join the throng, your voice is raised,
no one can hinder thee.
The King of Love deserves your praise,
no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, no one can hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on. No one can hinder thee. No one can hinder thee. No one can hinder thee.
He reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord, who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord, and he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord, show your power, O Lord our God, show your salvation. You are the Lord. We ask not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance, give us the loss. You are the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power. Show your power, O Lord.
show your power. Oh Lord our God, send your power.
Every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow at his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name.
No other name,
there is no other name,
no name by which we're saved,
no name by which we're saved.
There is no other name,
there is no but Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that?
to God. Let the people shout before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
let all creation praise his name. From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Consecrated, Lord, to thee, take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and thank you.
You got me in your ears? Hey, Troy, can I get some more gain on the click track? I'm trying to keep it turned down on my monitor. Is that what gets, I get a lot of buzz. That's pretty good.
That's not as hot as it usually is.
Yeah, I got a pretty loud mic.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd bring it up a little bit.
I was cranking mine all the way up.
Bring it.
Prepare your ears for the click.
There you go.
All right. Ear piercing. Am I good with the click?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's run through it real quick. Bill, you about ready? All right. Let's run through some drums real quick. Let you adjust your ears.
Okay. You got it in your ears? Oh.
Not plugged on.
That's why I couldn't hear the click. Yeah, man, that's plenty. It's good. Bass. Let's go to some bass.
See, I don't have much bass at all.
I don't have hardly anything.
You got it cranked up, Mark?
Give us some bass in our ears, T-Roy. There you go, that's better.
Just done.